everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Wellspring Words, the podcast. This is your host, Kem, as you know. Don't mind my voice. I'm just recovering from COVID at the moment. And so I'm a little bit nasally, but I think otherwise we'll just enjoy it from here. Today, we have another guest, which is very exciting. And this guest is a writer. So we're having a full-on writing conversation. I think in many of our past episodes, writing may have been like an element in there, or self-expression may have been an element in there, but we really had been focusing more on wellness and spirituality. But we have a full writing conversation today. And as it is, the writing conversation is not separate from the wellness or the spiritual or the philosophical in the way that we talk about it. So without further ado, Sakshi, will you please introduce yourself? Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Kem. It's an honor to be here. And thank you for the wonderful opportunity. As you have already introduced, my name is Sakshi, and I think some of you might know, I am an engineer by profession and a writer by passion, and that is something which is pretty much generic about me, but if you ask me how I'm doing these days, I think I'm kind of trying to survive the bad days and kind of living the good days, so it's been quite a ride. And with the kind of job I have and with my passion and with everything else, I think it's difficult to strike a balance, but everything's good. And I'm glad that, you know, life is finally giving me a chance to, work on my passion and streamline my goals. So that's something that I'm really happy about. But I think we'll know more as we talk further. And again, yeah. I really want to thank you, Kem, for this wonderful opportunity. I am truly honored to be here.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you. Yeah, no, it's been great. And the way that I know Sakshi is through, because I like to give people a moment to just introduce themselves outside of whatever they do, outside of all of those things, because as time goes on, you get to know these things about people, and you can always find people on the internet these days. So why not? You know what I mean? So why not give people a chance to actually speak from the inner space? But I do know you from the internet through Instagram.
Well, it's a small world, I think, and the internet kind of binds people together.
So. Yeah, well said, well said. So your Instagram handle is AnonymousXOnly, and you have these beautifully deep, I think I might have found you through a hashtag. I'm pretty sure that's probably how it was, or maybe on the explore page or something like that. But
so that explains that the algorithm is fitting me well. So I'm glad about that.
Yeah. I mean, at least sometimes. I don't know how it works, but I did find you through that organic way. So that was really nice. And the way that I connected personally with your writing is just on a very truthful level, on a very deep level. And deep means different things to different people, and so does truth, but there is just some aspect of your writing that made me feel like this is coming from lived experience, reflection, analysis, and not just like thoughts, you know? Do you know what I'm saying? And maybe that's the engineering part of you as well.
I get you. Thank you for saying that. It honestly means a lot. And, I say this time and again, but I think my words are pretty much a product of who I am, and that's what I usually try to reflect from my writings. So I think the USP of everything that you'd read in my writing would be the fact that all of it is very honest, and I don't shy away from expressing myself for who I am, because I think at the end of the day everyone's pretty much the same, and dealing with a common struggle.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can tell by the way people resonate with what you write, that there is a sense of universality in the specific, which is not a new concept, but when you write from a very specific place that you've been experiencing some hurt, let's say, and someone connects to what you've written, they're not necessarily connecting to your exact experience, but the essence of that experience. And that's I guess the benefit, right? Of writing from such a truthful place.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I want to know, what has been your journey as a writer? Because coming to a place of writing from such a deep truth, well, there should be usually some age attached to it, some life experience attached to it. Because if you're starting to write at like 10, 11, you may just not have the ability to articulate exactly what you have been experiencing. Whereas when you're writing from a place of 23, let's say, you know, you just have more space and time. Yeah. So what has been your journey in developing this depth in your writing and developing your passion as a writer?
So, I mean, I might take a lot of time here. So I actually started as a journal writer. I was 14 when, you know, my mom actually bought me this, you know, this lock-in journal where she told me to, you know, articulate whatever I felt. I was going through a pretty tough time in my life. I was living in another city and, you know, there was a lot of internal struggle involved. I had to be transferred to another city because my dad had, I mean, he had to start working somewhere else. So, I mean, it was quite a ride back then. And I was dealing with a lot of, you know, conflicts internally. And I think that sort of prompted me to begin this journey. And I also had this literature teacher back in school who, you know, spoke in the most beautiful accent. And she, I mean, she was just the perfect English teacher I would have, I mean, I found in my life. And she kind of inspired me to, you know, start wielding that pen. So when things got tough in life, I decided to, you know, finally take that journal out and talk and write about the things that usually the thing about the things that I deal with. So that kind of marked my journey. And I was precisely 14 when it all started. And I was usually a journal, I mean, I was a journal writer. I kept things to myself. I wasn't very expressive when it came to people, when it came to talking to people. But I was always passionate and I wanted to pursue it, you know, professionally. But, you know, there were a lot of dependencies and I think engineering happened and, well, the rest is history. But when the pandemic came into the picture, I decided to do this on a larger scale. I had some friends who kind of persuaded me into doing this on a social platform. And that's when the journey of Anonymous X Only began. But before this, I was just, you know, a simple person, very confined to my books and my journal. And that was it. So to answer your question, yes, my journey did start with a lot of internal struggle. And when I started this platform, I actually realized that, you know, there are a lot of people who are battling with their inner demons. There are people who kind of relate to all of these things. And that kind of, you know, gave me the confidence to continue doing what I'm doing.
Yeah. Wow. 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 Super well said. It's like, it's almost like, you scripted that or something. It was so when it just, it rolled off so organically. So that's really cool. Yeah. I mean, I'm wondering though, just like astrologically, what your birthday is.
It's the 30th of March. I'm an Aryan. I was born in 1998. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm wondering, do you know your moon sign and your rising sign? Your ascendant sign?
I don't think so, because I honestly just believe in my zodiac. So that's what I've always taken into consideration. But I'd love to know more about it now that you've said it.
Yeah, I'm asking because what you write about in this place where you even started this writing journey. And I mean, everything that there. The thing with astrology is that it's pointing out who we are in different areas of our life when it comes to different elements of our life. So I'm thinking when it comes to expression, when it comes to analysis, really, really the reflection and analysis is the biggest part of what you're writing about, like the content of what you write about.
I absolutely agree.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then when it comes to expression, it's different because your expression can look like dance. It can look like writing. It can look like speaking, you know, it can look like cooking.
Yeah,
it can look
it's
like
a lot so of things combined.
Art. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I don't know. I was just thinking that maybe you had some like Scorpio in a prominent place in your chart when it came to like reflection and this thing about inner demons, this thing about going through transitions and transformations and
yeah,
that being like
I mean, it's
thing.
Not very easy to, you know, adapt to change. And I'm an Aryan and I've read this a lot about my particular, I've read this a lot about my, my sign that, mm-hmm. you know, Aryans are very, I would say very, like they're persistent, but they don't like the idea of change as much.
Interesting.
So, yeah, so that's been something that, I mean, that has always held me back from doing the things that I've wanted to do. So when I began my writing journey, when I started journaling, so it was quite a battle for me because it was a pretty transitioning phase. I was, going to move from one city to another. So it felt like I was going to leave behind an entire life that I'd created for myself, my family, a lot of my friends, a large part of my family, my school, my teachers. So it was like shifting an entire upbringing from one place to another, right? Yeah. So that was I wouldn't call it traumatic as such, because I think that's a very strong word, but it was difficult to deal with. And I think that's when I chose to confide in words.
Mm. And what made it easier for you to confide in words written on a page rather than words spoken?
I think I'm not really an extrovert or an mm-hmm. introvert. I would say I'm an ambivert. And I would say that I wasn't a very, I didn't want to interact with people as much, the time when you're feeling so much that you don't want to talk about it, but you also want to talk about it, you know, something like that. And that was primarily something that I was dealing with. And I knew that if I don't let it out, it's gonna, eat me up. And that's when I decided to finally write it down.
Right.
And eventually I realized that writing works better for me than talking about it. Mm-hmm. And as long as it's making me feel better, as long as it's liberating me, what's the harm anyway? I mean, I could talk about it or I could write about it. It's the same thing.
Yeah. Well said. It's got me thinking about a recent, I love this thing about what's the harm, it's not hurting me. It's only serving to liberate me. So it almost feels like a hidden treasure, to just write things down. But then I feel some people are more inclined to writing than to speaking or any other type of expression. So it doesn't really work for everybody in this same therapeutic way, in the same transformative way. Yeah.
I agree. Hmm.
These conversations excite me about we're really talking about the mechanism of writing here. Like, we're going deeper than what the content can be, which is always available to talk about, but we're going on a meta level talking about the mechanism of writing. And
and I think it's I think it's beyond words, like people tend to think of writing as something that that will, they associate writing with having good knowledge about words, about having an impeccable vocabulary. But I think it's beyond that. I think it's about being able to express oneself in a way that it liberates you from within. I think it's kind of a journey for, personally navigating who you are, like a journey for self-discovery, for that matter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's definitely more than words, don't you think?
Oh yeah. I that was so cute, by the way, why you said "don't you think." It just sounded so cute. I love it.
Thank you.
For sure, I think it's more than just the words. I mean, in addition to what you said, it's the wielding of the words, like it, to know multiple meanings. For if you know the meaning of a word, it's not just the meaning of a word, it's not just the vocabulary definition of that word, it's how that word is used in this context, or how do you manipulate.
It could be very simple as well, it could be very basic, and it could still convey volumes.
Yeah. So that goes deeper than the words, as you're saying. It goes into the meaning behind it and like what you're trying to. But on a foundational level, of course, it's important to know words. Like, it's hard to make to use words if you don't even know words. So, or if you don't know that many words or different words to express what you're trying to express and get down to it. So vocabulary is important because you need your foundational tools in order to make something of it.
Exactly. I mean, you got to know the bricks at least to, get something together. And I think writing is also independent of language. And I think one should be able to convey or express whatever they feel like in whatever language that they're more comfortable with. I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about feeling better. And I think that's what the purpose of writing is.
Interesting. Yeah, for sure. People should write in whatever language, whatever, however you know it, just write it,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I also like to see writing as a method of bringing us into alignment, a deeper alignment. Well, the mechanism of speaking comes from the left side of the brain, the masculine side, and the mechanism of feeling comes from, or expression, I should say, comes from the left side of the brain. And
that's
then
right.
Feeling comes from the right side. And when someone is unable to express what they're feeling, like usually that is coming out through artistic means, through means that don't have to do with like actually writing and talking, that are actually coming out of the throat chakra. But and then when you're someone who's not really able to go into your feelings that much, but you're talking a lot, and maybe things are very theoretical, very brainy, you know, then that's really a focus on the masculine side of it. But when you bring these two things together by writing about your emotions, it is, or at least if you try to bring them together, you're activating this feminine emotional side of you, this creative side of you, and this expressive masculine side of you. Like they're both activated, ready to do the thing. And I think that's what is very difficult for people to express their feelings and their emotions, not only because it taps us into a place of vulnerability where many have not gone before, but many of us are out of true divine alignment. And to actually do that has to bring, like, especially that feminine side into alignment with the masculine. There's a lot of force against that. So it's like when you're writing, when you practice writing your emotions, you bring yourself even further into alignment to be able to do the analytical thinking of which words do I pull together to make this feeling, which is the feeling side, you know? So there's that aspect of it as well, which just kind of came to mind for me recently through all of my reflections.
I get you. I mean, that was beautifully articulated. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. And I mean, I think that's what it is about, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, it tends to be a lot easier to remember our hard moments, to feel the pain, to feel like to really just feel and embody difficulty. It's so much easier to do that. And many say it's because of survival instincts. I mean, I say it's also because of programming and conditioning and the food we eat, the air that we breathe, all this stuff that just like primes our body for that and has our vibration sitting more so in the negative. So we're just used to a lower vibration. And of course, from that place, if we're used to a lower vibration, we'll be attracting lower vibrational experiences. And I'm not putting any qualifier like it's good or bad. Like I think depending on how you see it holistically, it could be a good thing. If you're attracted to lower vibrational experiences, there's a lot that pain has to teach us. I mean, I know that you know this in the writing, right? And in the exploration of self, it's just now when you move past and through that pain and you get to the other side of that, what are you going to do to keep you on the other side of the pain that you've experienced? Unless one just like really likes to be in that space. And I'm just like, this is meant to be leading to a question, but as I was speaking, I was now thinking of all different types of questions. I guess one of them is your process of being able to articulate your pain and then take it somewhere, because your writing is not just about this is how I'm feeling, full stop. That's part of it, right? We need, it's like the context, but then moving yourself through a transformation from experiencing pain to being on the other side of it and having those lessons behind it. Like, what is your process of that? Does that question make sense?
You know, Kim, I don't think there's a process as such. I mean, I would say it's more like a flow, you know, the way I imagine healing to be. Rather, the way healing feels to me, you know, the pain, the endurance, the bad days, and then the better days, and then the best days, you know, it's a whole cycle, right? And I feel like I feel my share of emotions every day, and there are so many, you know, internal battles. I mean, I feel enough to be able to know what it feels like. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. It's totally like a different place than I was thinking, which is totally, it's fine. You know, that's, these questions are meant to kind of help us understand.
So, I would say, you know, there are things that we feel on a very generic basis, on a day-to-day basis, about these conflicts that we have with our inner self, things that we don't always understand or, you know, necessarily hold the capacity to express. And I believe the biggest strength truly lies in acknowledgement, in trying to, you know, acknowledge what that feeling is. And that's what I've learned from my experiences in life. And I think writing is pretty much all about that, you know, because we're a product of our lives, that I, as I said before, and so should be our words, you know. So very blatantly speaking, writing to me means more to me than just means more than just stringing words together. It's about, you know, kind of letting go without fear. It's about introspection, and it's about preserving pieces of me on paper, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like one should always be able to know themselves over everything else, because that's who our best friend is at the end of the day. And that's who is going to be with us for the rest of our journey in life. So when I talk about a process, it's not a process so much as a flow that necessarily works with your inner self to kind of get you where you have to be in life. So it's a whole cycle that you have to, you know, run yourself through in order to get where you want to.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. There's so much there. There's so much there. And when I put together, or when my team puts together the show notes for this episode, I'm sure there'll be lots for us to kind of dig into as we're like fleshing out some thoughts behind this. But
that's a lot of information at one go. I know.
Yeah. But that's a good thing about this being recorded, is that you could go back and listen to it, and you can pause it, and you can have thoughts, and then you can come back into it.
Make sense out of it.
Try to make sense out of it. And this is actually a kind of way of being able to give vocabulary to your own thoughts by, this is the meta moment happening once again, but I'm a teacher. So this is how I process things. This is how, you know, it's just to kind of reflect them and translate them. But when in a moment of like, of receiving some information that just made you stop for a second and be like, wait a minute, this sounds interesting, but I don't know exactly what it means. Then when you stop and reflect at that moment, what does this mean to me? How do I make sense of this? That's you building your internal vocabulary to be able to use in your other expression. Like it's a beautiful thing, but we have to remember to take some time to slow down, to really be present with what we're receiving and just stop and reflect on it. Because we tend to move through things so quickly, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to kind of process things, because I feel like we're all in such a hurry to, you know, find peace and kind of get through our struggle that we don't actually realize how tormenting that really is during the process. So I think it's very important to come to terms with the fact that any kind of healing and any kind of, you know, pedestal of peace is going to be long, and it's going to demand time. It's going to take a lot from us, but it's also going to give back a lot at the end of it. So I think it's more about understanding that these things do take time, and while it does take time, it's important for us to kind of reflect upon who we are, dive into our, you know, inner core and understand what we really seek at the end of all of this. And I think that's pretty much it. We got to treat this whole process in a kinder way, instead of trying to rush through it. And we just need to feel everything that, you know, life demands us to. I think that's the only way to go about it.
It's the only way, because, you know, if you're not able to feel everything that you're meant to feel, your body tells you, you know, your body speaks up like, you need to feel this stuff, you know, something goes wrong there, or your thoughts tell you, your moods tell you, you can't just escape these things that are coming up in you for you to feel. You just have to go through it one way or another. So very well said. I want to pivot
and,
us,
you know.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, sure. I am I'm a 23-year-old. It's not like I have all the experience in the world to actually talk about these things on such such a, you know, large level. But I think life has given all of us enough experiences to get through, to learn from. And I think there is no real age to kind of have all the experience in the world. I think every step in life is an experience in itself. And that's why I think that we should all really take time to, you know, we should take baby steps through each phase in life. And that's the only way we can remember them for what they really were, instead of cribbing about how they weren't, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, when you're a person who is of the age that society would deem appropriate to have deep and meaningful thoughts and experiences, though, I feel like the way that you would perceive them, or that one would perceive them as deep and meaningful, is if that person experiencing it had those like moments of going through things moment by moment, experience by experience, and not trying to race to be something that they weren't, or, you know, like you need to, well, I'm just echoing what you're saying. Like you do need to go through each moment of your life and experience its fullness for at the end of the day to be able to look back and be like, this is what I experienced. And this is like a more complex, deep, rich version of me because of everything. Because if you just race past it and you just say, no, I don't even know what the alternative would be to just experiencing life. But if you weren't to do it, then it would show you just.
Yeah. And it's also because obviously the good experiences always account for better memories. But what is the biggest takeaway that we can take from something bad that has happened? It's just a learning that we, you know, take with it. It's just an experience that we, you know, take away from it. And I think that's what matters, because at the end of the day, no matter what happens in life, there is always a takeaway, and it's almost always something to learn.
I agree. let's pivot into the realm of the beautiful, the realm of the hard to capture. I'm gonna read a post that you put on your Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if it has I don't think it has like a title or anything, so can't really. But it was from January 27th, and it's a picture. You have a picture of Ross and Rachel from Friends, and then in the next slide, you write. I'll just read this, and then kind of just like we'll talk about it because I have some thoughts on it. So you say, how do we know it's love? There's a secret we writers have. We use metaphors to illustrate beauty that doesn't meet the eye, to paint pictures of things that fail to garner attention, things that are beautiful but out of sight. I can string together every metaphor that poetry has ever seen to answer this question. And as much as I love to do that, I won't. I don't need to. Because when it's love, beauty doesn't have to meander between metaphors. Because when it's love, there are no secrets. Because when it's love, it's always visible.
Wow, that was wonderful. You really made it sound wonderful. So much better than it actually is.
Well, why do you say that?
I don't know. I think it's the way you recited it. I mean, I kind of, it's overwhelming. So thank you for, giving such a beautiful voice to it.
Oh, well, you're welcome. Thank you for the compliment as well. I mean, this is how I felt it when I read it. It's, you know, there's obviously these larger questions about this huge concept called love that is used in so many different ways, but then it really comes down to this essential thing about, like, this thing is priceless. Like, don't even try to encapsulate it. It's just something that when you know, you know. That's kind of a gray space to write in. But I guess this is what comes when you are used to being in this space of just like questioning and pondering and feeling, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Mm. Tell me your experience like writing about love in this way, because you're not writing about romantic love, it seems, to somebody and your feelings towards somebody. That's different than writing about love as a concept. So how do you get into this space of writing about love? How do you feel comfortable writing in this space about love as a concept? Because a lot of people don't like to go there. They just feel like it's too big.
Don't you think this is everything that life is really about? I mean, I think we are, because love is, right? I mean, our entire life, if we come to think about it, is really just an amalgamation of the love that we've created, the love that we've received from people, the love that we have within ourselves. And I think
the love that we destroy.
Yes, potentially, yes.
Yeah.
And it's I think our entire life is pretty much about love and love of various kinds, not just the romantic kind. There is every kind of love that comes with life. And I think it's important to dive into the depth of what it holds, what it means. And it's not like I am some, sort of an expert who's got like every idea of what love is. I mean, I'm learning myself. I'm trying to learn, I would say. But, I've had like a handful of experiences in life that do account for a large part of what love is and what it means to me in particular. And that's what this particular piece is about. It's about what I personally feel in love. And how it should necessarily feel to someone who's beginning to understand it, right?
Yeah, that's great. It does feel like your work that you share has a sort of how-to aspect of it, but not in the banal sense of a how-to. First you do this, then
yeah,
you do this.
Yeah,
but
that's
more
right.
Of a, yeah, like a life lessons thing. I mean, like, this is how it's been going for me. Like, is it the same for you?
I would say that I on a very personal level, I don't talk about things that I haven't felt, because I don't think I'm the right person to talk about it at all. I just write about the things that I've actually felt from within, things that have made sense to me at some point in time. And I think if it has made sense to me, it should definitely be of use to someone else. And that is exactly what I want to deliver through my words, for people to understand that, to kind of validate them that whatever they're feeling is okay. It's a part of their life, and I've been through the same, and I'm with them. And it's the same boat. And if we sink together. And when we rise together. It's just really as simple as that.
Your passion is just coming through so strong, which I love.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's I think requires a minute. energy, but it's a beautiful thing.
I feel so sad that I've actually put in so much information on you right now.
No.
So I'm just going to give you a minute.
The information is not a lot in a bad sense. It is a lot in a really good sense, because it's like, it's invigorating, when someone is operating from talking about living from their passion. Or dabbled into their passion, like it's invigorating, and I don't know. For me, it speaks to this
on a whole new level.
Yeah, it speaks on a whole new level. But there's an essential truth. There's an essential truth about when you're living in your passion, when you are experiencing yourself in your passion, and what that means in terms of beauty, in terms of your own beauty, and the beauty that people perceive you to be because of how you are living, which is connected to your passion. So, it's a nice thing. I like to bring up some of these things that are a bit outside the scope of discussion, just to see things in a different light. I mean, we're here talking about writing, and yes, within the discussion of writing, we're talking about like certain conceptual matters like love and all these things.
Yeah.
But the act of us talking about writing in this way is us speaking about our passions, which you can just like dive into, and it becomes a very interesting conversation, perhaps for those who are not even interested in writing, who are like, I don't care so much, but these people seem to be very interested in it, and it's engaging what they're saying and how this is bringing something out of them.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like, it's seldom do people really get the chance to, talk about their passion. And as an engineer, I really don't get to talk about that very often. So via this platform, I'm actually very grateful that I have these words to, put into my mouth, these words to talk about. So it's actually something that is very easy to comprehend for me. And I can see myself doing so much better in this field going forward. But I think I just needed to talk about it. And I'm glad that we're doing that right now.
Yeah, me too. Thank you. And I'm glad to hold the space to be able to facilitate that conversation, or I
Yes.
guess like co-facilitate the conversation, because it's two-way conversation.
That's right.
Yeah. Have you thought about, or are you working on, or do you have, I'm not sure, a book published that people can engage with your writing, like in a more
Yes.
permanent way?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. For that matter, yes, I have been working on my book, but it's just that it demands a lot of time, and I don't want to force myself into writing, because that's the last thing I want to do with my words. I honestly enjoy writing, and I don't want to force the whole writing a book thing on myself. So I am working on it, and I do, you know, take my time to write it. And I know that if I'm going to write a book of my own, it has to be something that, you know, that I can resonate with, that people can, you know, come to terms with. And if it has to be my first and my only book, I just want it to be perfect. So I think it's going to take some time, but I know that I'll come up with one.
Yeah. That's really beautiful that you gave us that perspective from such a passion-oriented place.
I just don't want to you know, come up with something that that 5 years down the line wouldn't make sense to me. So I just wanted to kind of represent my life as a whole. I wanted to document everything, and I think that's going to take some time, and I think more experience for that matter, because I'm just 23 right now, and I want to gain enough learning and gain enough knowledge to actually articulate all of this seamlessly.
Yeah, I get it. And it's a nice change to the common rhetoric that like wants us to produce something super, super quick, you know, and
pressurizing
pipeline. Yeah, it is pressurizing for some publication pipeline. And it's like, okay, I like just bought 9 books yesterday. I didn't, but I just bought 9 books yesterday, and I am not going to read any of them this year. Because, yeah, I that's not a true story, but I'm saying this is a common thing that people do anyway. Like just buy books and buy books and buy books and then not even read them. And so what is like, it's just an encouragement for us writers to think a little bit more constructively about what we're racing to write for, especially if it's taking us away from our sanity, from the joy that we have with writing and expression. It
That's
makes us feel like we're like trying to pump something out. But that's a different way of looking at writing. You know, it's writing to connect with yourself, as you said, rather than writing to produce something for other eyes, which is also very valid. But when do we engage in which one? And how does each one influence us? And when are we able to manipulate that process for ourselves?
Exactly. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. I too am writing a book. I'm writing a novel. And when I first started, when I first started it last year, I was just like cranking out thousands of words a week, you know, just going through it. And
it's a lot of work.
It's a lot, but it's a fiction novel. So it was very easy because I have, a hyperactive imagination, so it's just like I'm just seeing everything play out in my third eye, basically, and then I just write what I see and write what I feel. So like tuning into these psychic abilities just to be in that space and write from there, that's not difficult. It gets difficult when, you know, I'm sort of writing the story that I'm living on this plane, but then also that my characters are living on a different dimension. So I'm living my process. So it's, as you said, you just want to give yourself more experience to be able to articulate stuff. And if I'm living my process, then I can't, I'm too deep in it to see what's happening.
But
and Kim, what's happening.
I've known you enough to kind of say this for a fact that you're going to nail it. I mean, that's a given. You're absolutely going to nail it. And I'm really going to look forward to when you're done writing it.
Thank you. And likewise for your book too. So is it like a memoir style thing?
Kim, I have not really decided that, but I know it's going to be about myself and about the things that I've experienced in life. So let's see how that goes.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a part of me. Yeah. That's all I know.
Yeah, that's fair for now. That's fair for now. So we will wrap up this podcast shortly. But before we do that, I want to know, because a major theme, probably the only theme, I keep saying every episode, a major theme in this podcast season is, but it is returning to wholeness, or like remembering your wholeness, returning to your whole self. And I'm just wondering what that means for you in this moment of your life, returning to wholeness.
So, Kim, I don't think experiences can be, classified into shareable and not shareable. I think everything is personal. And as far as returning to wholeness is concerned, I don't think we ever break at all. You know, there are days when I feel things I can't define, things I can't phrase, but and things that really hurt, which make me feel bad and, you know, all torn and reduced to a portion of myself. But I think I don't really break into pieces. You get what I'm saying, right? I mean, I think we're so strong from within that we don't have the power to break. You know, we might feel like that, but actually so strong, so beautifully built. And I think it's the finest metal that we're built with. I don't think anything can ever break us apart. And as far as, and as long as we acknowledge what we feel, as long as we acknowledge the pain that we feel, I think returning to wholeness is just another day away. And if at all we do feel broken at some point in time, if we do feel like we're, you know, a lot of fractions at once, I just feel like if we're not half, how would we ever, you know, feel full? And what I know is that holes exist because parts do, and feeling broken is also a part of feeling whole. So yeah, I mean, I think that's what I think about it.
So interesting. Yeah, they're like, what does it mean to return to wholeness? Well, I've never left, basically.
I've never
been apart from
my
wholeness.
We don't really break. We feel broken, but we don't really break. And I think it's just the only thing that we need to realize, that we're better than anything that can, you know, that has the potential to break us. We're like unstoppable. You know, the kind of empowerment that we really need is to understand that we're kind of invincible no matter what comes our way.
That's beautiful, Sakshi. That's beautiful. Thank you for that. I can't even don't even want to follow up what you just said there with anything else and any other thoughts aside from a thank you for being here and sharing your truth and being on this podcast today.
That is so sweet. Thank you, Kim. Thank you so much. I mean, it's like I said, it's an absolute honor.
Yeah, well, it's an honor for me too, and I hope an honor to all the listeners. So where can people find you if you want to be found on the internet, if they like want to check out your work, be in touch or whatever, where can you be found?
I'd love that. They can always find me on Instagram by the handle @anonymousxonly, and I've also attached my email ID to the account. So if they want to reach out to me for any kind of, maybe a collaboration or whatever, maybe if they just want to catch up with me, they can always reach out to me over DM or email. I'm always available.
Yeah, just like I was able to reach out to you for us to have this conversation.
Always.
And you shared one of your pieces on Wellspring Words, the online publication. Yeah, so
yes.
I'll also include that in the show notes, as well as your Instagram handle and your email, people to be in touch if they'd like to. Yeah, I'll do that.
Thank you. That would be amazing. And I think the one that you posted on your blog is one of my favorite pieces, and I think very close to my heart, because I actually wrote that for someone I really love. So you know, it's wonderful that you also liked it so much.
Yeah. My Love in Seven Vows is what it's called, and I'll post that with you. If anyone wants to go and search on the website, then you're free to. Well, thank you again, Sakshi, and thank you to everyone who's been listening to this episode, who's been tuning in. This is near the end of season 3, so thank you for listening to the whole season and for engaging with this platform, continuing to engage with this platform. Do share your love and your thoughts and your feelings about this conversation today with us via Instagram at Wellspring Words or via email at bewell@wellspringwords.love. And then share this episode with your writer friends and your thinker friends and your artist friends and your friends of any kind, and give it like a rating and a subscription and all that stuff that I always say, because, you know, just want to get more people listening to these thoughts and sharing from this real deep place. So yes, thank you again, and catch you next time. Take care.